much. If you would please go to the book of Ecclesiastes with me. Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, please. Thank you very much. What a blessing to be here with you this first Friday of this semester. And I love chapel here at the college. And what a privilege and honor I get to preach the Word of God to you in such an important time of this semester, the beginning. I'm going to talk to you about, are you a mouse or are you a man? So I'm just messing around. If you would go with me to the book of Ecclesiastes, please. Ecclesiastes chapter 10. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verses 1 through 4. And I'll just read the verses and then we'll get started here. Good timing for to finish on time. So Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verses 1 through 4. We're praying for you, praying for this semester, for you in particularly. We've been praying that God would bless you, provide for you. And we want you to know on behalf of the Spanish ministry and all the Spanish leadership, that we are very grateful for what you do every weekend, bringing folks to church and working with them. A lot of testimonies of our people, our folks sitting in our congregation. God's really blessed our Spanish congregation in the last few years. And I really can testify of the impact that this student body has had in the Spanish congregation. Although many times you're just sitting in a corner somewhere or in a balcony just with the folks that you bring, I take note of you and your efforts, and a lot of folks that I speak to speak very highly of you and the things that you do behind the scenes that maybe no one else knows but the Lord. And I very much value what you do, the love you give to our folks, and it's a blessing to serve God alongside you, and it's a privilege to see what God is doing, and not only through our church entirely, but here at college. What a spirit, what a place. And I don't say that lightly. There's just a wonderful spirit here, and I can testify that. I can testify to that personally, that the difference of being in different places, but this is just a refreshing place to be in, and I thank the staff and faculty and the leadership here. I pray for you often, and our hearts are knitted to yours. We believe in the college. We believe in the cause. We believe behind getting these students in the ministry. We love the philosophy, love the direction, and we're 110% behind Hiles Anderson College. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verses 1 through 4, the Bible says this: dead flies cause the ointment of the apothecary to send forth a stinking savor. So doth a little folly him that is in reputation for wisdom and honor. A wise man's heart is at his as his right hand, but a fool's heart at his left. Yea, also when he that is a fool walketh by the way, his wisdom faileth him, and he saith to everyone that he is a fool. If the spirit of the ruler rise up against thee, leave not thy place, for yielding pacifieth great offenses. I want to talk to you about that statement there in verse number 4, leave not thy place. Father, please bless today's message. Help me to communicate this truth as you communicated to myself, Lord, and the blessing it has been to me personally. Help me to communicate that. Use me as an instrument in your hands, Lord. Unless you use me and give me the words to say and fill me with your power, Lord, I'm no good at this moment here standing in front of this student body. Please use me as an instrument, as a help to these young people, Lord, as they prepare themselves to go into this semester and to finish what they started. I know the devil, Lord, the enemy, is going to have plans for them to discourage them. Many maybe already have fighting discouragement. But Father, would you please use today's message? Humbly I ask for you to encourage those that need encouragement. And as a reminder to those that are encouraged, Lord, what we have the responsibility to do. Please bless today's message. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. A couple of weeks ago, after a busy and difficult few weeks had already passed, I found myself looking in the Bible for a message to preach. And that is somewhere you never want to end up, young people, looking in the Bible for a message to preach. I fell under conviction. That evening I stayed downstairs under the Christmas lights in, with my Bible open, searching for God to speak to me. I received a text from my wife, and she asked me, she said, are you coming up anytime soon? She tends to struggle to go to sleep without me next to her, and she said, are you coming up anytime? And I responded back to her a little frustrated, and I said, I'm not going upstairs until God speaks to me tonight. After having read through several books of the Bible, and a little frustrated because it was late, I had lost track of time. I didn't know what time in the morning it was. But I kept reading and kept reading. I wanted God to speak to me. And it finally, almost at the end of this book, Ecclesiastes, that the Lord finally spoke to me. And I was a little refreshed because I kept thinking of the next book, you know, Song of Solomon. And I said, Lord, I don't want to go through and then get into the major prophets. I'm sure to go to sleep on you, Lord. You know, but I was so thankful that there, in this verse, number 4, God spoke to me. When I got to that statement, he said, leave not thy place. Beginning to understand that one of the greatest challenges in Christianity and Christian service is to hold fast to the place where we're supposed to be. It's so easy to be distracted, to be doing what we're supposed to do, but our mind on something else. In boxing, there's a rule that if your fighter is losing grit and his health is at risk, only the trainer can throw in a white towel to quit the fight. At that point, the referee has the decision to make whether he will allow the fight to finish or not. In the Navy SEALs, there's a bell that must be rung by the soldier who wants to quit and walk away. Now, they encourage you to do so because they want you to quit. They want the quitters out of the way to filter out those that are weak. And they encourage that bell to be rung. But it's something that person has to do on its own. They can encourage you all they want, but you have to decide whether you want to quit. It has always been seen as something wrong to quit on anything. So many times as Christians, we get to the place where we want to ring the bell in our life. We want someone to throw the towel in for us. When everything seems to be too much to bear, too difficult to continue, and not sure if we can continue. God says to us once and many times, leave not thy place. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, if you'd go there with me, please. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13 and 14. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13 and 14. The Bible says, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13 and 14. It says, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. Paul, I'm sure many times in the ministry, had reason to want to throw in the towel. Many times his own devices, his own struggles within him led him to want to consider quitting. I'm sure of that. Here in this passage, we know Paul's writings. We know that he lets us know and very, very much aware of who is our enemy. But here in our passage, if you notice with me in verse number 4 back in Ecclesiastes chapter 10, it says, if the spirit of the ruler rise up against thee. The spirit of the ruler. And it's interesting how the spirit of the ruler, that is particularly speaking of the enemy that lies in front of us, the devil. We know it to be so in Ephesians chapter 2. We see that the Bible talks about that same spirit. And he says in Ephesians chapter 2, he says this in verse number 1 and 3, he says, and ye have thee quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. You see, the devil is our main enemy, that he knows that he can't do anything against us as far as God is in, God protects us constantly every day. He wants to try and discourage us. He knows that we have victory in Jesus. He knows that we are more than conquerors and we've won the fight. He knows the end of the Bible. He knows he's lost. But he constantly tries to rise up a spirit against us to get us to the point where we quit, where we give up, where we can't win, where his goal is for us to walk away and leave our place. He wants us to slip just a little, as we read in chapter number 10, verse 1. He wants the damage to be great by the cause of just one quitting. Notice in Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 18, the Bible says there, wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroyeth much good. One sinner destroyeth much good. You see, the devil knows who he's up against. He knows who our defender is. He knows that God is with us, and if he's for us, who can be against us? He knows the scripture as you and I know it, and I believe even to some degree much more. But his goal is not to try and directly destroy us. It's to just get us to the point where we quit on our own, where we get discouraged so much that we throw in the towel. You see, when we're in the fight and we're in the ring, it's not the fighter that throws the towel. It's not the fighter that continues to fight and you can get knocked down and he tries to get back up, but it's the trainer that's overlooking the fight and knows his boxer and knows that maybe he needs to quit now because it doesn't look good for him, and he throws in the towel. There was one particular fight in 1918 that the towel was thrown in, and the referee saw the towel land, and he didn't know who from what corner it came in, and he looked at the boxers that were fighting, and both saw the towel, and both boxers said, "Don't stop the fight." And he grabbed the towel, and he threw it back out at a corner, and he allowed the fight to continue. The guy that threw the towel was throwing it for one of the boxers that was losing, and that is the boxer that ended up winning. It seemed like the trainer thought he was going to lose, but the boxer knew that he still had enough to continue going. You see, the devil sometimes is in the ear, in our corner, saying, "Hey, quit. It's too much for you. It's too difficult. It's too expensive. It's too tough. Things aren't the same anymore. You ought to just quit. Leave your place. Just abandon it. It's no good." And he's trying to throw in the towel. And sometimes you don't know from where that towel's coming from. Because sometimes it would appear it's coming from your parents. Sometimes it would appear it's coming from your friends. Sometimes it would appear that it's coming even from spiritual leadership. But you know what? It's up to you whether you quit or you don't quit. The solution, the Bible says here, is to yield. He says, "If the spirit of the rulers rise up against thee, leave not thy place. For yielding pacifieth great offenses." That word yielding has to do with the meekness, being meek and a lowly spirit. It's the ability to be flexible. It's the ability to roll with the punches. It's the ability to keep getting up when you keep getting knocked down. It's yielding to understanding that, hey, we know who the ruler is. He rises up against us constantly. We know who his name is. We know what he wants, what he desires. He desires to hurt the cause of Christ. He desires to hurt his name. He desires to see us failed in the ministry and to walk away from our calling. That is his goal, to push us to leave our place. The protected place, that appointed place, that stipulated place by God in our lives, that preordained place, the according to his good will. God tells us here in chapter number 10, verse 4, he says, very subtly, he says, "Leave not thy place." The first place I think of is the secret place of God. In Psalms 91:1, the Bible says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." In Psalm 73:17, the Bible says, "Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I therein." You see, God talks about that secret place, and it's not a secret to the Christian. We know about that secret place. It's a very known place. We know it, and we might not always visit there, and maybe it's been a while since we've been there, but we are aware of that secret place. In Acts chapter 1, verses 12 to 14, the Bible tells us that the apostles went up into the upper room, where then the Holy Ghost came and filled all of them that were in one accord in that one secret place. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 6, the Bible says this, "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." You see, that special place where you and God know about, and you have a place, a secret place, a place where He has met with you. It's a very important place that we should never leave behind. Adam left that place, and he suffered great consequence. And to the day, we're suffering that great consequence. You see, it's a place that God wants us to hold fast to, a place that He wants us to visit, a place that He wants us to hold sacred, a place that He wants us to crave and desire, as the psalmist did desire, that thirst of God to fill him. He was in that place where only God would visit with him. I believe in my heart of hearts that every one of us here knows about that secret place. Now, whether you and I frequently visit there, where you were, if you were there this morning or not, or you were there last week or not, or in the last month, or maybe last year, I don't know, but I know for certain that if you're here at Howells Anderson College, it was because God spoke to you in that one secret place at one time. God says, "Leave not thy place." When's the last time that God spoke to you in that secret place? Every one of us has it. It might come in a form of a couch. It might come in a form of a backyard, in a maybe a underneath a tree, maybe around the lake, maybe in a car. I can't remember. I can't forget how many times I was driving in the middle of the night after getting off work, trying to get to school by 7:30 in the morning, driving and listening to a song and just being broken down and having to pull over and spend time with God and just fall under conviction, just because I knew that it was under His presence in that moment. Even though I was in my car, it was God with me. How many times that I've walked by a couch or a chair where God and I have met before, and I've looked at it and kind of hazed at it, glazed at it, knowing that that's where God and I have met, but it's been a long time for me since I've been there, and it's a convicting thing because it's in that secret place that God reveals Himself to us. That God shows Himself strong in our life. That God speaks to us again. And we hear His voice. It was late at night that I was worried. I was thinking, "God, would You speak to me, please? I don't want to come to the Bible looking for a message to preach to somebody else. God, I want You to speak to me." And I thank God that I don't know what time in the morning it was, but God finally spoke to me in that secret place. How's your secret place? Have you left that place? Boy, it's so frustrating when we are away from that secret place. It's so frustrating to do the work of God when we've been away from God. When we know that it's a convicting thing, when preachers preach about it, when we see others being used of God, when we see others with the joy of the Lord and seem like they're renewed a strength to serve God, and we wonder and we think, "I wonder how it'd be for me if I would just go back to that secret place. Would God visit with me again?" Let me tell you, my friend, God is there waiting for you even now. Oh, what a difference it makes. Boy, I got up that night and I went upstairs and my spirit had changed, my attitude completely different. I went to sleep, maybe probably slept about an hour, 2 hours. Had to wake up the next morning and get to work, go soul winning, and then get ready for church. But it seemed like I had slept the whole night, Brother Young. Even though I had been praying and looking, reading the scripture. But it's amazing what happens in that secret place. Where's your secret place? Is it maybe that's why you're frustrated this morning? Hey, listen, look up here now. Is that why your attitude has changed? Is that why you bicker at things and people? Is that why you become hostile to people, even through social media, and have a stinking attitude in regards to serving God, the bus ministry? You're one of those that is not looking forward to seeing what God will do with your life. You're just trying to get through this thing. You're just trying to survive and finish what you're doing here in education, but you lost that hunger, the desire to be used of God. Let me tell you why, because you can only get it in the secret place. Maybe that's your problem. It's all about you. And you're trying to survive based on your personality. You're trying to thrive on the recognition that you've built, that other peers think about you. And you keep, you keep claiming the past victories. And you're so quick to proclaim it among others. Oh, you try to solidify yourself. You try to establish yourself and your testimony. And you try to establish your who you are amongst your peers, because you're talking about the heyday of what God did with you in the past, or how many bus routes this, or what you did then. But let me ask you, what are you doing today? What will God do with you this semester? I believe God wants to use you in such a way where God will be all over you, and there won't be an explanation. It won't be on your personality, the focus. It won't be your talent. It'll be God that's all over you. Well, we've lost that desire. We've lost that hunger to be used of God. We've lost that desire to stand fast even when the enemy comes and attacks us and it criticizes us, and we get criticism from all over the place. But we've lost that strength, that fervent spirit, because we've left our place, the secret place, the second place that we should not leave is the public place of God. The Bible says we are to be light of this world, the salt of the earth, a living epistle of God. The Bible says in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, if you'd go there with me, please. I have all my scripture written, but I see you too comfortable this morning. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Passage that we are familiar with, but I'd like for you to read it with me. And you'd read out loud with me in chapter 1, verse 8. The Bible says this: but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and he shall be witnesses unto me. You see, that public place that God has us in is intended for God to use us. God needs us to remain in that public place where he has put us, for such a time as this, as he did in the life of Esther, as he did with David before that giant, Gideon before those men, Joseph amongst his brothers, Moses amongst such a great crowd of people, John the Baptist when no one else was preaching, Paul, the last apostle, the least of many. Hey, God needs us in that place, that public place, so he can use us, so he can be glorified through us. It was Paul that said in Galatians chapter 1, verse 24, and they glorified God in me. You see, what I'm saying is that God has us in a place on purpose, and it's a public place. It's that place that he has ordained you to be in, to occupy until he comes, to be busy and to fulfill God's calling in your life. Maybe it is to be a bus captain. Maybe it is to be a worker. Maybe it is to play a piano, to play an instrument. Maybe it is to sing a special. Maybe it is to be an usher. Maybe it is to be a Sunday school teacher. Whatever it is, God has put you there, and he says, leave not thy place. Boy, it's so difficult to do the work of the Lord when so many people quit on their place. So many people bounce from here to there, and they feel like they're discouraged, so discouraged that they can't continue to be part of the orchestra. They can't continue to be an usher. They can't continue the bus ministry because it's too difficult. I need a break. I need rest. I need to go on and do something else. Hey, let me tell you, God has said, leave not thy place. God does something special with those that don't leave thy place, that stay in their public place. You see, God needs you there. You might think that that is not important to stand in some corner to be an usher. And you might think, a big deal. Who notices that I'm an usher? You know, it was Kevin Wynn that was a Spanish usher opening the door every evening for Sunday night for the Spanish congregation while he was a student here. He didn't even know how to speak Spanish correctly, but he knew how to open the door, brother. He knew how to open and shut the door. And the Spanish folks would see him and just look at the white boy opening up the door. Look how God's using him now. Because he didn't leave his place. You see, you think that maybe playing here in an instrument, no one else is going to notice. And who am I? I mean, they don't recognize me. I'm just playing this violin and I'm just amongst so many. But there's a God in heaven that's watching you, and he put you there and he needs you there. And he says, leave not thy place. We can't do the ministry when we have people quitting. When we have people leaving their place because they think that there's something else to do, or they think that maybe it's too much, too difficult, and I need to change the scenery. Let me tell you, let God change. Let God move you. Don't move you on God. Leave not thy place. That bus route needs faithful workers. That captain needs faithful workers. That division leader needs faithful captains. Not people quitting on him. Not workers saying, I can't, it's too difficult. God has you there. God put you there. God put you here in this college. And he has you publicly here in this college. You're enrolled in this college. It's no accident. It's not by chance. God put it in your heart to be here. Leave not thy place. Don't quit on God. Hey, listen, don't quit on God. Some of you may be already thinking, maybe I should just go back home. Things aren't the same. Maybe some friends of yours left. Maybe some friends didn't come back. Maybe things aren't just the same exactly. Let me tell you, God has you here. Amen. Leave not thy place. Finish what you started. Be faithful to the end. Leave not thy place. That public place. What public place do you occupy for God? What do people see you do? It's so easy to quit. It's so easy to think that we need to throw the towel. It's too hard. Surely there's something else that we can do. And I'm not talking about not serving in other ministries. We ought to be involved as much ministries as we can. I don't remember a time growing up where I was just involved in one ministry. It was always multiple ministries. The more you can do for God, the better. But never it was to leave a ministry to do less. It's always to do more. Hey, listen to me. What are you doing for God now publicly? Hey, I used to hear students tell me when I was in school, you know, we'd come home talking about the bus route and things that happened that weekend and how many people we had and this and that and the big days and the goldfish and the tarantulas and all that kind of stuff. And we'd come home talking about that to the dorms, and the guys were in pajamas and saying, that stuff I'll do when I finish school. I'll get involved when I finish school. And I'm not judging them. I'm just saying, what about now? What about now? What if Jesus comes, and he's surely going to come soon? He said, quickly, I come. He's going to come soon. What about now? God has placed you in a special place where there's no boundaries to what you can do for God. Oh, what would I have given to be given buses after buses and say, fill up a bus, and if you fill that one up, give you another one. If you fill that one up, give you another one. Leave not that public place. The third point, the place that we should never leave, is that ancient place of God. The old paths, wherein you will find rest, the Bible says. Proverbs 22:28, the Bible says, remove not that ancient landmark which the fathers have set. Proverbs 23:10, the Bible says, remove not the old landmark and enter not into the fields of the fatherless. You see, you know, people, God never changes. Thank God he is always there. The Bible says, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. He can be found in the same place, the same way, by the same truth, because he never changes. His doctrine never changes. The position, the biblical position never changes. The biblical philosophy never changes. The way he works never changes. How he can be found never changes. And neither should we. We should not leave that ancient place with God. His presence can be felt the same way. His spirit, his power comes the same way. He doesn't get old. Neither does his ways get old. Don't believe the hype that it's boring and we need to change it up and we need rock music and we need this and you need to tone it down and dress down and make things more interesting. Don't believe it, because if we believe that truth, then we're saying that God is boring, that God changes, and that God is no good anymore. We need to reinvent him. We don't need to reinvent God. We need to stay with the old, ancient way of God. It works. It still works. Lamentations 3:22, the Bible says, it says, "And compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Leave not thy place." There's so many young people turning left and changing and trying to criticize the old ways. I always wonder why these preachers, and I'm not trying to be critical, but why are these preachers so defensive and try to put their message out there? They hear of an old-time preacher, or maybe a conservative leader or spiritual leader quote something or something from yesteryear, and man, they come up like bees, and they want to and attack him socially through media and just state their position. Why? If you know that you are in the truth, if you're confident with what you believe and how you believe, why do you need to prove your case? Why do you feel offended with others that are more conservative, that choose to stay with the old past? And let me tell you, young people, it's your generation that's going to have to fight that head on. The spirit of the ruler is going to rise up against you, and they're going to question your music. They're going to question the old way. They're going to question soul winning, door to door, knocking on doors. They're going to question your dress standards. They're going to question everything about the old ways. But it's important not to leave the ancient ways. I'll stay with the old ways. I'll stay with the boring ways, the simple ways. I don't need to go looking for a new invention of God or a new style of God. I'm not against progressive things that we need to adapt into the ministry as far as the new things that are capable as instruments and to be able to do things the right way and maybe more advanced. I'm not against that. I'm for it. If we can better the ministry in every way possible, we should, but not change the ways. We don't need to change anything about what we believe. We need to start believing it and preaching it and doing it. I'll tell you, young people, I know the crowd I'm preaching to this morning, and I'm going to say it emphatically and on purpose. Don't turn left. Don't veer left. There's no fruit over there. There's no evidence that it works. Listen to me. If this is my last 5-10 minutes, I'm going to tell you, don't turn left. It's not true. It doesn't work. They have no proof, and that's why their leaders are looking for people like you that dress well and are come from good Bible colleges, because they don't have what to produce with. They don't have the next leaders. They're looking at it with you, and they to convince you to leave your place, to go over with them, because you are the end product. You are the result of the old ways. It doesn't work. I challenge you to look around those movements and show me evidence of spiritual godly leaders that came up from that crowd. I challenge you. I will agree that amongst their crowd, you'll find very impacting and very influential leaders that at one time, they came out of the old ways. And they're very vocal about how they don't believe the old ways. They're very vocal on how things don't have to be so conservative. Things don't have to be like this and that. And they'll hide behind criticism. The old ways, they'll criticize the old leaders. But I thank God that we are not a sect, that we are not a step, but we were started by a man, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is our founder. He has not changed. He has not failed. He has not fell into adultery. He has not lied. He has not stolen money. He is faithful and true. And we could hold on to that truth. It's weary to see young people with so much potential and ability for the Lord. So many good young preachers that can preach way better than most preachers that I know are buying into this new thing. So sad. But it's based on this verse 4. And you're leaving the place where God has you. Number 4 and lastly. Leave not thy place, that acceptable place of God. Hebrews 11:6. The Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. You see, God has called us to a life of faith. The only way we can please him. The only acceptable way. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 2, the Bible tells us that good and acceptable, perfect will of God. Psalms 96, 9, the Bible says, "Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear him, all the earth." There's a beauty of holiness that God longs for us to enjoy, to be there. Because that's where God sends his blessings. That's where God is pleased with us, and he can pour his power, he can pour out his spirit and help us. In Psalms 133, it concludes with us telling us, "For there the Lord commandeth the blessings," that place of unity, the place of holiness. You see, God's telling us to not leave that acceptable place of God. What I'm saying here, follow me, I'm about to close, is when we leave our place of acceptance of God, that means we're gonna sin and fall short and cause there to be hurt. And like we read in chapter number 9, verse 18, that one sinner destroyeth much good. So doth a little folly to him that is in reputation for wisdom and honor. You see, when we go away from that acceptable place of God, we stop doing things with the right motives. We start doing things just in the flesh. We start doing things just because we have to, because my mom and dad told me to do this, because this is all I've ever done, and I'm just going to do it in the flesh. And let me tell you, that's not the acceptable place of God. God wants us to do it with passion, with love, with sincerity, with humility, with a desire to be used of him and giving him the credit and the glory to all the things that we do. And that is the acceptable place of God. That's where God longs to use us and bless us. If we don't leave that place, that acceptable place of God. Paul told Timothy that many in the latter days shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits. You see, the spirit of the ruler will rise up against us and provoke us to disregard separation, provoke us to disregard holiness, and it'll get us playing with sin, and it'll get us playing with things that aren't acceptable to God, and therefore God can't use us. And therefore, when God can't use us, we get frustrated, and we get to a place where we don't see God using us anymore. And that's where people throw in the towel. That's when people leave and say, "I can't do this anymore. It seems like God's not using me no more." Leave not thy place, young person. No, sometimes you want to quit. I think we all sometimes want to quit. To throw the towel, to leave the place where God has us, where God's using us, where God is doing something that we can't understand or explain. But God has us there. And even though sometimes you get and I get discouraged and we wonder, how are you going to figure this one out, Lord? Because I've already done all the math and I've already done everything. I've looked at it from the beginning to the end and the front and the back, and I can't figure out how you're going to do this. But that's the place that God has called us to. And we cannot throw in the towel. We can't be quitters on God, because he's never quit on us. Somebody needs you to not quit and leave that place. There's a bus kid. There's a family. There's a young person. There's an elderly lady. There's a family that needs you not to leave that place. There's another student that's sitting next to you or watches you from afar that needs you not to leave that place. There's somebody, worker, that's barely trying to survive in the ministry and needs you, bus captain, to stay in your place, not quit. Needs you, bus division leader, to not quit and leave that place. That Sunday school teacher, that one leader, hey, God needs us to not leave the place. And how many times we've broken God's heart because he knows that he's about ready to bless us and use us in ways that we can't understand. But once and over again, we've left our place because we quit God. We said, "God, what we don't understand, it's too difficult." And yes, it's difficult, but with God, we can do all things. Been wanting to quit on God? Matter of fact, you're even thinking about, right? You're thinking about, maybe, you know what? I think I'm just going to call my parents and just go home. Is that what you're thinking of doing? I'd like to ask you today, don't leave thy place. Stay. 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 When all the dust settles and everybody else leaves, I promise you, it'll be you and God still standing there. But don't leave that place. Don't follow the crowd. Don't listen to that voice telling you, "Quit, man. Quit. It's too hard." Don't listen. Father, would you please bless us?